The time is 8 p.m. Temperature 30 degrees. WA2HKS repeater, input 449, output 444.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is Jeremy, N2UGS. I'm located in Williamsville. Welcome to the Barrett Tech and Informational Net. This net meets every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Our focus is on the technical aspects of amateur radio. Whether you're an experienced operator, a new ham, or just curious about the technology behind our hobby, you're in the right place. During this net, we'll discuss topics such as equipment, antennas, propagation, digital modes, troubleshooting techniques, and emerging technologies in amateur radio. The goal is to share knowledge, learn from one another, and encourage experimentation and problem solving within our community. All licensed amateur radio operators are welcome to participate. Please keep transmissions concise and relevant to the technical topic at hand. When checking in, please give the call W2EUP, let up by your mic, and listen to ensure that you're not doubling. Then give your call sign slowly, along with your name and location. All right, let's get started by taking check-ins for the Barrett Tech Net. Please call W2EUP now.
W2EUP. Here is W2ZZA Dave in South Cheektowaga.
W2EUP.
U7YTF. Good evening. This is November 4, November Juliet, Juliet, Bill, Las Vegas, short timer, in and out.
W2EUP. AC2XD, Rick Tonawanda, still sick, but I'm here.
VUP, KAHBYU, Roy in Blaisdell.
W2EUP, Kilo Delta 2, Tango Foxtrot Bravo, KD2TFB.
W2EUP,
KK7YTF, Handheld, Berlin, Nevada.
W2EUP. W2AJR Andy Cheektowaga.
W2EUP. W2EUP Kilo 7. Victor Golf Quebec, Bob, North Las Vegas.
W2EUP. This is KE2GCW, Greg and Snyder.
All right, let's pull it up right there. Nice call up. Welcome aboard to Dave, W2ZZA. Bill, in and out, N4NJJ, good evening. Rick, KC2XD, hope you're feeling better. Get well soon. Roy, KAABYU, holding up Blaisdell. Good evening, Roy. Joe, KD2TFB, I'm going to give you Nutlogger status here in just a second. There you go. West, KK7YTF, I think that's what I caught there. Andy, W2AJR, good evening. KK7VGQ. KK7VGQ. I got the wrong one in there. Now you're right. And Greg, KE2GCW. Good evening, Greg, the star of the show tonight. So, I know we've talked a little bit about Meshtastic in the past, and it's been, Greg's done some presentations at the various clubs that are in town here. I know I saw one, I think he was in Lancaster, he was at Barra, he's been to a couple technical meetings at Barra, Pretty sure he went to Ronnie and to the Niagara Falls group, too. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about Meshtastic. Greg's going to be our guest speaker tonight. So Meshtastic is an open source long-range, low-power communication system that uses LoRa radios to form a wireless mesh network. It allows users to send text messages, GPS locations, and sensor data without relying on cell service or the Internet. Each node acts as a repeater, passing messages through a network to extend coverage. Meshtastic devices can be small handheld radios, ESP32 baseboards, or even modified trackers. They connect via Bluetooth or USB to a phone or a computer running the Meshtastic app, making it easy to send and receive messages. Now, to introduce Greg Baskey, E2GCW, found amateur radio through a related consumer radio digital mode called Meshtastic. He earned his technician license in early 2025 and has presented to various clubs in the area to help inform our community and grow our mesh here in Western New York. And boy, has it grown. Holy smokes. If you look at the map now, we are definitely front and center as far as mesh nodes here in Western New York. Over the last year, the mesh has grown from 4 to 5 nodes to over 200. Good job, Greg. And I'm going to send it over to Greg now. Greg, KE2GCW from W2EUP. Good evening, Greg. Let us know a little bit more about Meshtastic.
W2EUP, this is KE2GCW. The reason why I first got into Meshtastic was because I was interested in actually keeping tabs on my 4-year-old son, who is quick to get away when we're out in public. I've got 2 eyes on him, my wife's got 2 eyes on him, so he's a sneaky little dude and he can get away from him just quick. He never has got away, but we would keep something like an air tag on him and keep track of where he's at. And recognizing that there might be places we want to go, like Amy, somewhere out in the wilderness, or somewhere out in the network, I was looking for some technology that would allow me to track him, you know, to go in.
Greg, could you make...
Looking at some different technologies around FRS radios and... eventually, I tested a model, and it didn't quite work the way I wanted to. It fit both. And so I ended up finding a Meshtastic tracker. And with that Meshtastic tracker, I am able to get about a half-mile range from ground to ground. And I then did a test in my neighborhood of Snyder, where I put a node in my upstairs window and walked around, and I was able to cover about 3/4 of my neighborhood without doing anything special with just a very basic device. And so that got me inspired to call myself Snyder Mesh on the mesh, and then I started thinking about who could I reach out to in the neighborhood and try and get connected with them. So I had a buddy who lived over in Eggersville, and through some trial and error, trying different antennas, different configurations, different nodes, I was able to get connected from my attic node to a node that we put on his gutter. This led me to, building my own nodes, learning how to solder. I'd done some of this work when I was in college, working on my engineering program, but it was good to kind of bring some of those skills back and play around. And then once I had my buddy meshed in, I was reaching out to the different amateur radio clubs, like Lancaster Amateur Radio Club, and they said, you know what, well, there's not too many of us using Meshtastic, but you should get your technician license. So I studied, And once I felt confident enough to take the test, I took the test, and I was able to go back to the club crowd with my technician's license. But the very first person that I talked to on the 444 repeater, my first pressing the push-to-talk button, I ended up catching Ted Ertl. And I asked him if he was into mesh static, and he said no, but he asked me if I would come to the FARA technical meeting and give a presentation. And so that's kind of what got me started even more deeply with presenting on this topic to the community. And so I built and gave away about 40 nodes. I've probably purchased and sold a few here and there. Mesh-tastic nodes to various people, and so I've tried them all. I've got a lot of experience. I've solved a lot of problems. I've dealt with a lot of problems myself too, and I wanted to invite everybody as we're kind of going through the roles to answer some, you know, kind of questions. You know, we'd love to know, kind of, have you used mesh-tastic before? If so, what hardware are you running on?
Greg?
Yes?
Can you speak up a bit? Your audio is kind of low.
Oh, I'm kissing the mic here, so hopefully we get better performance. And then what's the furthest you've seen a mesh-tastic message travel in your area? And then how do you see mesh-tastic fitting into amateur radio or emergency communications? Backed in that control.
All right, folks. Well, Greg's here to ask or answer everybody's questions about mesh-tastic. So if you've got a technical question, an easy question, if you're not quite sure what mesh-tastic is, just fire away. Greg will be happy to answer your questions. I'm going to take another round of check-ins here. So, if you'd like to join the BARA Information Technical Net, please call W2EUP.
W2EUP. This is Kilo Delta 2 Sierra Golf Yankee, KD2SGY Jason in Eggertsville.
W2EUP. There is November 2 Tango, Foxtrot Golf. I'm Bruce and I am Hurst. I'm a mesh-tastic user, but I'm entertaining right now.
All right. Welcome to Bruce. And welcome to Jason, KD2SGY. That station in between Bruce and Jason, I didn't catch your call. I thought I heard KE2CMY, but why don't you come again and give me your call? Anybody get that?
I believe it's KE2.
Anybody get that? Set up at your house. How's it going over there? From W2EUP to W2ZZA.
Yeah, okay. W2EUP and the BARA TechNet. Here is W2ZZA's Dave in South Chippewa. Hi, everybody. Hello, Jeremy. And, of course, hello to Greg. And thanks for answering questions tonight. I'm sure you've already heard it, and it's on the IM as well. You might want to choke up on the radio and speak very loudly because you were quite low, but copied most of it. Yeah, no specific questions. You know, again, the mesh-tastic node here seems to be working, although the antenna is quite low now. It came down in the storm, but it's still low and operating. So the only real question I've had lingering in my mind is a practical use besides connecting to everyone, which is great, and it shows that we have a pathway for communication. And, of course, that can be used in emergencies. But without an organized program for that and means, I'm not sure that hams would be able to quickly deploy in an emergency and effectively use the mesh tastic technology without perhaps boning up on it ahead of time, you know. And perhaps a program about some proposed ideas might be a good idea. Back to net control.
Thank you, Dave, and thanks for those ideas. I know lots of questions with mesh tastic. And what I do is I come and revisit it every month and see what's new. Greg, do you have any comments for Dave? Go ahead.
Yeah, so I would say if we do have a nice, robust mesh where we've got a lot of solar relays out there, we've got people linked up across Western New York, we can be in a good position that if there is some sort of outage or some sort of natural disaster, that the existing mesh could be in place to allow that communication by amateur radio licensees as well as consumers without having to have any sort of deployment, because the deployment's kind of done there in advance. But of course, if people do have their nodes not out running, there could be still value in point-to-point communication. So for instance, if you were to go down to Allegheny State Park and you were to be there camping, you could take two mesh tastic nodes with you and be able to see the position of people that you're hiking with, that kind of thing, without having to have any sort of other infrastructure in place. So there's benefits in a decentralized ad hoc mesh or in a well-established mesh as well.
All right. Thank you, Greg. Dave, did that answer some of your questions?
That's kind of what I had in mind, but I was thinking more of a level of the human interaction where there's organized plans for different types of events, when to deploy, when not to deploy, that sort of thing. But, of course, it's all open, so anybody can converse at any time, and I guess that will work itself out, won't it?
Right. I've heard this is actually a pretty good idea. Like at if you're at a concert venue and they don't have cell phone service, I'm not sure if Burning Man does or not. Maybe they have pop-up ones, but I can see like if you're at an event where cell phone service is maybe spotty, a concert or something, you can still get in touch with your friends via the mesh network. I can see that helping out there. Rick, KC2XD, tell us how you're feeling.
KC2XD, good evening, everybody. Terrible. But I wanted to check into the net. Thanks for doing it, Greg and Jeremy. No comments. The more I talk, the more I start coughing. So I'm just going to listen along. Thanks, everybody. KC2XD. I hope to be back to normal and on the air more.
All right, Rick. We need to get you some Rico on, then you can start yodeling again. All right, feel better, Rick. Thanks for checking in tonight. Roy, KAA-BYU, holding up Blaisdell. I know you've got a note down there. How are things going in Blaisdell? Do you have any questions for Rick?
W2UB and Baratechnet, KAA-BYU. Everything's going pretty good. I'm showing 42 online, 372 total, right as of this moment. Mine's up right now, so no real other questions than that. Going along here, I've got one of the Moosey Works ones. I'm thinking about getting another one that has the GPS on it.
Yeah, same here. In fact, I've got a temperature and a humidity sensor. Little hat. I've got one of the WizBlocks that uses not a lot of electricity at all. I've got
just one of those solar panels that they use for like your lawn lighting. And then I threw another, 3,500 milliamp battery in there. But yeah, so like you said, for GPS, there's like a module that you can get. On mine, I know the WizBlock, you can just snap it right on the top, but mine's on the roof, so I got to wait until the snow melts to get put the module on it. But that'll be pretty cool. I'll have temperature and humidity. Greg, any comments from W2EUP?
Yeah, thank you, W2EUP, KE2GCW. So the GPS can actually add some really good functionality for the mesh as well. Not all devices have GPS on them or real-time clock. So if you're connected to other nodes nearby that have the GPS, it'll help synchronize the clocks on the devices. That'll make sure that messages are propagating through the mesh appropriately.
All right. Cool. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate that. Any other questions for Greg Roy?
No, not right now. You're fourth on the list with your P-LORA pager. It's just updated. Back to you, KAA-BYU.
Very cool. Moving along down the list to Joe, my net logger helper here. KD2TFB, Joe, your experience with MeshTastic. Have you picked up a node yet, Joe?
No, Ken says I have. I'm trying to learn a node of another type, All Starlink. I was just wondering, so this is basically packetized data going across. How big of a chunk of data can you send at once?
All right, yes, very good question, Joe. Question for Greg, and then Greg, maybe you can touch on the LoRa Wi-Fi too, because I think we talked about that the other day a little bit about maybe sending more data through the LoRa Wi-Fi module. Go ahead, Greg, from W2EUP.
Yeah, thank you, W2EUP. This is KE2GCW. So over MeshTastic, there are different radio presets that can be maintained, and they have trade-offs between the different presets. So it's a chirp spread spectrum-based technology called LoRa, long-range radio. And it operates in the U.S. at about the 915 megahertz band. But the most popular frequency slot to send those chirp spread spectrum symbols through, which it makes either a slope up or a slash up or a slash backslash down, the most popular one has a good balance of for the messages to transmit and distance. With that, you can typically get about 23 decibels of gain, like virtual gain, because of the way that those messages propagate relative to what you get on a regular digital mode like FT8, because it's actually drawing the symbol through the radio spectrum instead of operating between one frequency and another. It's hitting all the frequencies. So with MeshTastic and the long fast preset, it usually gets about 1 kilobyte per second of bandwidth. And then on some of the other frequency slots, you'll get about 4 kilobits of per second of bandwidth on what's called medium fast. So your range is not going to be as long, but you'll get more bandwidth to be able to send messages more quickly and have more users on. Meshes in like Austin, Texas, and Southern California, where they've got many more nodes than we've got, they found that they've had to move off of the long fast presets to get to the medium fast presets to be able to accommodate their higher number of users. But because they've got so many users, they can rely on their hops to be able to get their messages across and not need to rely so much on the radio game being able to push that signal as far as possible.
Frank.
And then there's another LoRa-based technology that operates in that ISM band, and it's called Wi-Fi Halo, which I believe is 802.11H. That technology, it operates kind of like mesh static, but it takes up a lot more of the spectrum. But you can actually transmit with a Wi-Fi Halo device. You can have a essentially a hub that would pick up your Wi-Fi or Ethernet and then broadcast up to a kilometer at 30 megabytes per second. This is a very popular use case for...
Full break.
Hang on one second there Greg. There's a station trying to get in there. Go ahead.
On your property that are far away from regular Wi-Fi access.
I cannot hear him. I have my volume all the way up on the radio, and you blast through and he's mumbling.
Hey, Greg, you're going to need to talk louder, up the volume something. We can't hear you.
My apologies. Let me see if there's anything I can do. Thank you for the feedback.
That was perfect right there, Greg. Joe, did you have any more questions for Greg before we continue on?
Well, it sounds like the typical, okay, you trade off being able to send more data at once versus how far you want to reach. So, yeah, I kind of get it. Sure, you lower the data rate, you can go farther because your signaling is, you know, reduced. Yeah, that sounds good to me. KD2, TFB, back to net control.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you, Greg, for answering Joe's question there. Let's see here. We're moving over to Sevenland, KK7YTF from W2EUP in Buffalo. I think it was West. What do you have for us tonight, West?
Well, thank you very much for acknowledging me. No, I'm Brad. I got some friends that just got me together with the radio, and I'm just starting to get my stuff together here. See how I like.
All right, Wes. Well, thanks for checking tonight. Greatly appreciate it. Moving along down the list here to Andy, W2AJR. Andy, I think you've got a note. What do you have for us tonight, Andy?
Good evening, Jeremy and Greg. Thanks for being in there. No, I do not have a note currently. Thinking about it, and I have two questions. Question one is, if I'm going to get into this, what would be, let's put it this way, the most cost-effective way to get started? And I know MeshTastic has a ham radio related side and a non-ham radio related side. What are the advantages and the disadvantages of both of those? Thanks for the topic, guys. Back to you, Net Control.
Thanks, Andy. Greg, would you like to answer Andy's question tonight? KE2GCW from W2EUP. Go ahead.
Yeah, so with the MeshTastic nodes, you can get a device for as little as $10. It's essentially just a radio chip and a microcontroller and an antenna. And so you can get kits like that from companies like Seed Studios. They also have more advanced devices that are including GPS and water resistant. So you can go up from there, typically about $50 for something you can carry around that's ready to use. And then
you can get a more advanced device that's an all-in-one that you wouldn't need to hook up to a phone, that would have a keyboard and a screen, touch screen, and you would be able to use that independently. Those typically run about 100. You can also get into solar nodes for about 100. You can even build your own off of one of those chips I was mentioning before for less than 50 bucks as well.
Excellent. And comparison between ham and non-ham use for mesh tasking?
Yeah, absolutely. So with the ham use, you can turn on a feature in the configuration. It will automatically broadcast, if you're a licensed operator, your call sign to make sure it's compliant with FCC regulations.
And
with that, you can operate
above
the 1 watt power threshold, which is the limit for consumers. So you can go up to 10 watts. However, there's some disadvantages. With the licensed operator mode, you're not able to encrypt any traffic. And since all the consumer traffic is typically encrypted, even with a common encryption key that, you know, you can party line chat with everybody, you won't see those pieces of traffic or be relaying them. So you'll be operating on a ham-only mesh. But that could be to your advantage if there's some contesting going on, and if these digital modes are allowed by your contesting, you could connect with other licensed operators and consider those contacts, which is pretty cool.
Very good, Greg. I never considered the contesting part of it, but that's a very good idea. Thanks, Greg. Andy, you have any other questions for Greg, or did he pretty much answer everything you needed?
Nope, it's exactly what I needed to know. Thanks, everybody. W2AJR.
Awesome. Thank you, Andy. And thank you, Greg. Moving along to KK7VGQ in Las Vegas. Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you very much for having the net. Hope I'm understandable here. I'm going to come over the Echo Link. I'm not a huge fan of mesh tasking. I only have it for what you mentioned earlier, like when we get an NASCAR here, in the NHRA, big events like that, it is easier for us to get a hold of each other. Because even with the F1, you know, they come in and they come up with the frequencies, these big events. And even GMRS is overwhelmed. And that's the other reason why I have a note. So I'm working on at NASCAR in the Pit area. I belong to Safety Safari. I'll use it to get a hold of somebody. I might not be able to reach it on the radio. But I think that when it all goes down to it, the only true method in an emergency that's going to get out will be CW. And that's just my 1 minute opinion on sports. So thanks for having this net every week.
All right. Thanks, Bob. We had a little echo stink artifacts in there, but I think you got your message across. Thanks for checking in tonight, Bob. Greatly appreciated. Then we had Greg, KE2GCW. Greg, good evening. And then K1PM, KE2HGH, and now moving along to KD2SGY, Jason. I know that you do a little experimenting with Laura with your students. Jason, KD2SGY from W2EUP. Go ahead.
Yeah, you kind of caught me off guard. KD2SGY, W2EUP. The thing that I think is interesting, you know, about the mesh-tastic is that it provides a framework for what could be possible. But I just don't think that mesh-tastic has the bandwidth that can be robust enough and sort of emergency communications. I'm going to let this drop. You know, I think that there's a lot more robust communications you can do with APRS and such. And I guess my question for Greg would be, I understand that there's sort of, you know, kind of working outside of the medical bands, which is basically this is sitting sort of in these sort of free frequencies that are available for medical and scientific industry. What are people doing, you know, outside of these frequencies to work with, like, greater bandwidth, more frequencies? And also there's, like, mesh core versus mesh tastic. I know that there's sort of some competing OSs or competing operating systems. I'd like to hear about that and sort of what the future is for mesh. KD2SGY-W2UP.
All right, thanks, Jason. Very good questions. Greg, go ahead. Take it away from W2EUP to KE2GCW.
Yeah, thank you, Jason, for the question. That's a really good question. There are some evolutions going on in the technology. Obviously, with mesh-tastic operating in those LoRa bands, it's primarily a low-bandwidth messaging platform. But some people are actually running other firmware on their same devices that can operate something like a very rudimentary internet. And that's called Reticulum Network Stack. And pair that with other communication methods, either over Ethernet or through traditional internet. It could be a way to bridge some technology gaps if you've got them. And then on the side of the devices, if you've got an ESP32-based mesh-tastic node, there is a chip on there that's capable of talking at 2.4 gigahertz for Wi-Fi. And some of the firmwares out there that are competitors to mesh-tastic, like MeshCore, which you mentioned, they will talk on the LoRa bands, but they can also talk on what's called the ESP Now 2.4 gigahertz bands and transmit a higher bandwidth, but you don't get as much range there. So you might get to the end of your street or maybe two streets over, as opposed to being able to cover kind of your whole neighborhood with the LoRa. So it's a trade-off. But these different technologies could be a way to allow for more mass communication. Mesh-tastic is a fully open source solution, and MeshCore as an alternative is also open source, but it's under an MIT license. So that provides the developers there an opportunity to maybe try and profit from their work a little bit, which isn't a dirty word, you know, being able to make some money. So these two different protocols, mesh-tastic tends to be a little bit better for a dynamically established mesh, where you would have every device acting as a sender, a receiver, and a relay. And then the MeshCore firmware, it really has firm device roles. So a device would not be both a sender and a receiver, and then also a relay. Instead, you'd have separate devices that are companion devices that you would send and receive on. And then you'd have other devices that are just the relays. That requires a very robust infrastructure to be established in order to allow messages to travel, but MeshCore has been proven to be able to be used to send messages very far and with a lot of reliability. So, for instance, they've sent messages from Southern California up to Canada on a MeshCore mesh. Back to net control.
Wow, holy smokes. That's pretty far. Jason, did Greg answer all your questions for you?
KD2SGY, WTEUP. Yeah, that's great, Greg. Thanks. I appreciate it. I think that there's a lot of possibilities as far as, you know, what can be done with these different technologies. And, you know, it's always good to have multiple layers of robustness, you know. I mean, I'm also thinking of things like Arden, which is kind of, you know, sort of hacking those Wi-Fi frequencies that exist within the ham bands to, you know, sort of do things up in the gigahertz range. But, yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. I think that mesh sets the precedent for what's possible, and there's a lot more to build on. Okay, back to the net. KD2SGY, WTEUP. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Jason, and thanks, Greg. Appreciate that. Well, we're moving towards the bottom of the list here, and I'm looking at the, actually, Joe told me to look at the Superman, and we've got quite a few stations connected. I just wanted to give an opportunity for those stations that are connected via All-Star or Echo Link to check in. So if you're connected via All-Star or Echo Link, please call W2EUP.